Welcome to the NORATH News Network, an EverQuest podcast. Slash hello and welcome, questers, to the NORATH News Network. Today is June 5th, 2015, and this is episode 15. I'm your host, Aylwin, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Lagan.
Hey, questers. We hope that you're having a very Narathian day today. Today, we have a very special guest with us, Oakmiser, and he runs the Narathian Chronicles on YouTube. And he is basically here to give us an EQ2 101. So get your pens and your papers. Take some notes. Whether you're a noob or whether you're advanced, I'm sure he has something good to tell you.
All right. And Oakmiser, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And I'm a little behind the curtain. We're recording you this time. So fantastic. This is take two to the people who didn't know.
Yeah. Hey, I had to sell myself I'm out. Just glad you got it right on the second take at
got,
least.
Got it right on the second take. Woo! That's what they call me, second take Aylwin. Anyway, Oakmiser.
As far as you know, that's all they call it.
As Lagan alluded to, Oakmiser runs the Narathian Chronicles YouTube channel, which, if I'm not mistaken, focuses on EQ2. Would you tell the people a little bit about it?
Yep, it's a YouTube channel I started a couple months back. It's definitely in its infancy. I had been on hiatus for the past 3 months, but I got about 4 videos out before I went on hiatus. Now things have calmed down in my IRL, so I'm about to start putting out videos again once a week. I've got an experimenting guide. I've got a guide to 2 of the different holidays, and I got an initial alternate advancement window guide to show you how to spend points and put your layout in and unspend points and move them around. It's starting to shape up to be a nice channel.
Oh, fantastic. And you touched on several things that I need help on, so we'll definitely be checking that out. And for all those of you who go to our website regularly, which I assume is all 12 of you out there,
Jim from California has been there recently, but...
Oh, that guy. We're not going to talk about that guy. we're going to add a link to the Narathian Chronicles on our probably on our streamers page, so take a look for that. We'll put it on Twitter when we get it up there, so you can get to his page through YouTube or through our page. But we're going to get into it. So Oakmiser is going to give us a 101 tutorial for noobs, which, you know, Lagan totally is. Just throw you under the bus.
Yes. That thumping sound you heard was me being thrown under the bus. But unfortunately, it is very, very
100% true. So, Oakmiser, my first thing is the leveling system in EQ2. It strikes me as very unique. I've played a lot of MMOs. This one seems to have its own thing going on, and I'm not sure that I get it. So I'm on the character development and alternate advancement screen.
That's perfect, because that's right where one of my videos starts out, is on the alternate advancement screen. So what they did not too long ago was they made it so that you gain a couple of points every level automatically. You no longer have to devote EXP by conversion to it. So when you do a quest or when you kill a creature, you gain EXP. And if you're playing for free, it's going to be split 50-50 and you can't move that bar. But okay. if you're a paying member, then you can move that bar from 0 to 100% conversion. Nowadays, with the free points every level, you might as well keep it at 0 and just level on up, because they've taken out really the need for you to convert unless you hit the cap. And at which point, you know, you've probably only got like 30-40 points to go, and you'll get that from doing a main quest series in the newest content.
So, I'm not sure I understand. So, you have your character development, you have your alternate advancement, you've got, it looks like a race tab, a focus effects tab, and then like a class tab. So, are these, are these things you have to do every time you level? Like, do I get a point? Does something in character development open up certain levels, and alternate advancement opens on certain levels? What is alternate advancement, I suppose?
Alternate advancement are points that you can use to specialize to make a certain ability stronger, or to take the detrimental effects off an ability that, like the paladin self-revive, instead of dying, you'll instantly revive. It has a daze attached to it, which means daze is an effect that won't allow you to auto-attack. So instead of getting that daze, if you chuck a couple points into the alternate advancement, you no longer get that daze, so you can continue auto-attacking it when that automatic revive kicks in.
And do you get to pick things like that? Like, I'm playing my Erwin character is an Inquisitor, and it starts off with that Yelp or something like that.
That's such a good class. Inquisitor is a very fun class.
I will say I'm really enjoying it. I played Legan, I doubt you remember. We started off, like, I always play a cleric-y type thing when I'm playing Erwin, and I played one of the other cleric classes and really, really hated it. It's actually kind of probably why we didn't play EQ2 more than we did. But we came back and I started this Inquisitor, and I'm really liking it. I'm terrible, as said before, but getting there. But, you know, I don't use Yelp a lot. I'm about to use, like, the Withering Strike or something like that more. Do you get to pick those things?
Yeah, you definitely have the options to go in several different directions with AAs. And the cool thing about it is you do gain them every time you level, but you can go a couple different directions with it. They've got preset templates for you to use, which aren't that great, but they kind of just allow you to play on autopilot without thinking about where your AAs are spent. Mm-hmm. And for people who are new, sometimes that's good because you don't want to spend, you know, 2 hours researching where should I put this point, where is this going to be used the most in the in-game, how can I min-max right now at level 18 or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can pick an automatic template that'll spend it for you, or if you want to go ahead and spend that time and do some research, you can, and you can make your own template, and so that every time you level and gain AAs, it'll automatically spend where you predetermined to put it.
Okay, and it looks like you can set up several profiles. Is that right? Like, you got almost, I mean, it's not like dual specking, but it seems like you can set up several different profiles for that.
Oh, definitely. It's not as robust, in my opinion, as, say, the multi-classing system in Rift. You can't completely change who you are, but you can definitely change broad aspects of how your class is played. Because an Inquisitor is, they definitely have a choice to go for a melee geared spec and still have great healing support. And they can also go for more reactionary spells that do spell damage and that kind of thing. Whenever a mob attacks you or you attack the mob, it does extra damage and that kind of thing. So you can go different aspects with it, and you can have up to 3 profiles stored on the server that you can access from wherever you want to play the game. If you switch from your laptop to your computer or whatever, it'll be stored on server. And then you can store unlimitedly on your own hard drive as many different specs as you want.
Wow. Pro tip, people.
So how is it that you said that you can't switch completely between these? Did I hear you correctly?
No, what I meant was it doesn't completely change what your class does.
Right. Oh, okay. And like he used Rift as example, and we actually reference Rift a lot because, you know, I doubt we have any developers of anything. Maybe I hope some of the next developers are listening to us out there. I know Rift is not the most popular MMO out there, but they do a lot of things right, and their talent trees is certainly one of them. That you can just basically, like you said, you can almost completely change your character in a click of a button, and that's amazing. I'm like, oh, I'm bored doing my warlocky thing. I'm going to switch over to, you know, the fire deal, and, you know, it just totally changes your play style, and it really keeps that game fresh, and more games should use that model, I think.
There is definitely a sense of difference, and you can Because it's not just adhering to changing abilities, but you can definitely gain new abilities to, switching from spec to spec. They do have, like, you would have this one buff if you go for this spec, but you wouldn't have it if you don't spec for it. Or you would have this one ability that teleports you to the back of the mob and does a backstab, or heals, you know, your target completely using your own base health, which is one of my favorite things on the Inquisitor. I loved Sacrifice. It was a really neat spell. And you can, having that allows you to have more playability from it, but I wouldn't say it's quite on the level of Rift's change in dynamic.
Well, okay. Well, and you said you have a video on Narathian Chronicles about alternate advancement already. Is that right?
Yes, I do. I hate the audio because I hate my own voice. But it's a very well-rounded video, in my opinion.
We suffer those issues a lot.
For yourself.
You know, this is episode 15, so our audio has gotten better than it was, certainly those first few episodes, as just generally get better at the editing and whatnot, but it's still sometimes tough for me to listen to my own Arkansas drawl on headphones. That's concentrated
drawl. So I have at least one more question here, and this is this is coming from the perspective of a noob, which Aelorin pointed out, I definitely am at EQ2. If I want to go into this alternate advancement, now I've gotten into it once before, but it was so long ago that I don't remember how to get to that menu. How do I get to that menu?
Press L.
Wow, I thought that was going to be a lot longer answer.
No, just press L. If you want a long way leg, and I think you can hit the EQ2 button and get to it through there. So that's two steps instead of one. If that
helps. Now, see, this is how you know we have an expert. Press L.
So if you have any questions about alternate investment, go check out the Narathian Chronicles video. We're going to move on to a topic we've hit on several times, not just for EQ2, but for EQ, and that is the map. Now, this is going to sound totally noobish to ask questions about the map, but it's not a very advanced map compared to other games. And it kind of drives me crazy. Has it ever bothered you, or is it really just me?
I can't say it's really bothered me too much. It's definitely not as detailed as Landmark's map.
No, Landmark's map, of course, is, you know, it's, I mean, that's, you know, the lead up to next gen, so you can see the terrain and things like that. But even games such as, like, Rift got pretty bad. Well, I guess WoW is probably the best map, and a lot of that has to do with the add-on community, really. They've made the maps significantly better. So, on the maps...
You should download the add-on for EQ2 maps. It's awesome. It adds in tons of points of interest that you don't normally have.
Now, okay. See, he just answered one of our other questions, and that was about add-ons. Yeah.
So that'll definitely be our next topic, because I've got a lot of questions about that, too. So what are the yellow dots on the map? New player, there's yellow dots all over your map. Are those just points of interest?
If they're small ones. I think the larger ones are, like, discovery points, kind of like points of interest that are like a tower or... Okay. A mountain or a monument or any kind of region where it says, you know, you have discovered and you gained
a little XP. I got you. And let's see, the little red books are quest. Just kind of, because it doesn't really give you a legend on there, or at least that I've noticed.
No, but if you right click, it's got a filter, so you can kind of see what it names by, like, go to the filter.
Filter, okay.
And you can uncheck things, and you can see what disappears.
Okay.
It's kind of a backwards way of doing it, but...
So you can kind of clean some of the other stuff up so that you can actually look for what you're interested in.
Yep.
Okay. Now, and when you're looking, I don't have a quest on here on this guy right now really tracking you, but when you're questing and tracking, when you're trying to track a quest, does it give you an indication on the map, like where that is? Like, it puts little blue dots up or something.
There are little blue dots, I believe, for places of things that you would need to click. Okay. And then there's a region of interest is a large area that's highlighted by light blue.
Okay, I see that on here. Fantastic. Okay, well, so that's really it. I mean, and I'm sure I'm the only one who thought, what is going on with this map? That we joke a lot. They kind of look like somebody made it in MS Paint. Like, it's just kind of a shape with little yellow dots, kind of. Somebody used a little spray painter tool on it. I'm sure it actually took an artist a great deal of time to do that.
Some of the older maps that I would have to agree with you on. Mm-hmm. The newer ones, though, for the newer expansions, probably like the last four or five, have been really fantastic.
Have they?
Yes.
Okay. So we're definitely in the starter zone, so we're seeing old janky maps. So I'm anxious to see that high-end content. We're going to get there.
Define janky. I dare you.
I'm going to not define janky. Thank you. I'm going to move on. So let's talk about
add-ons.
Add-ons and UIs. So, first of all, if I wanted some add-ons for EQ2, where do I get them?
I'm trying to think. Let me Google it real quick. Because I know it's like EQ2interfaces.com, I believe.
Okay, so it's not through the Curse Client or anything like that, like you would use for
Rift or for WoW or something like that? Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's EQ2interface.com. That's where a lot of them are still being updated. Yeah, see, somebody updated Drums UI, a component of it, today at 5 p.m., so that it is still an active community on that website.
Excellent. EQ2interface.com. We'll get that link up on our website for a reference. We may put up an EQ2 reference site.
It's got the download too for the EQ2 maps, I believe.
Okay. So what add-ons do you recommend?
I personally switch between using the default and Prophet UI, and I've tried Drums out a little bit, and then I, no matter what UI I'm using, I always use EQ2 maps.
EQ2 maps and the Prophet UI. Now, I caused Lagan a great deal of distress by constantly rearranging
on several occasions, I might add.
And no matter what game we're playing, I'm one of those people that like has to have the UI just right. Like, this has to be here, this has to be there, a little bit more.
So we're going to pause here and let me tell a story. The thing is that he'll spend an inordinate amount of time perfecting his UI, okay, and he'll declare, okay, now I've got it perfect. The next day when we play, he'll start it all over again.
Well, it was perfect before we tested it, and then it didn't work out. And so we got to reset that. You know,
he constantly hits the wrong button. He says, okay, I've got to move that button. That button is in the wrong place.
The week or two after I switched over to my new Razer Naga, was a particularly hard week or two for Leigan.
For Leigan, yeah.
That's my UI changed on the daily there for a little bit as I try to get used to that style of play.
What kind of UI do you prefer? Do you use the number pad, or do you use the numbers at the top of the keyboard, or do you use a mouse, or how do you do that?
I guess your key bindings.
That's old miser. I know how you do it.
I mean, your key bindings. I was clarifying your question.
Key bindings, yeah.
I am WSD, yeah, WASD for movement, and then I am all mouse for spellcasting and that kind of thing.
Do you click, or do you have a MMO type mouse?
Click.
Okay. I find that generally, especially in EQ1, you know, EQ in classic EQ combat is so. Slow sounds like I'm dogging it. I'm not. I love classic EQ's combat, but there's enough time that you can definitely you can click around. Like, between spells and EQ Classic, you can really click off and flick the next YouTube video between spells, you know? like, there's no, you know, it's not like games like...
Well, especially if you're playing a wizard or a mage and you cast one spell and you have to rest for 20 minutes.
Right. I mean, you know, in Landmark, you've got to be very active. You got to move constantly, and I think that's the way a lot of games are going. Neverwinter Nights is like that. I think WildStar is kind of that way. I haven't played it, but it's going free to play, and I plan to once it does. Now, Lagan, you had a question about how zoning works in EQ2. You want to ask
And I'm going to reference EQ for this. I mean, I assume that we've all played EQ, and, you know, you go to a certain spot, and it stops the character, and you zone, and it has to download. Is that the same case in EQ2, or is it more modernized to where there's less loading screens?
It depends on probably more or less the expansion you go in. They've gotten to the point where their design tools have gotten better and better, and they're able to create bigger and bigger overland zones without it eating up so much resources on our computers and on their servers too. Overlands typically are huge without having to zone. And if you're doing something that's it kind of depends on the designer of the quest choice, and it also depends on what you're doing. But if you're doing, like, say, an instance with five other people, like a little mini raid zone for six people, those you'd have to, every time you change one, you're zoning, you know, every time you finish one and go to another, you zone, and then you zone back out, and then you zone into another one. And overlands don't often have much zoning to them. Looking at the newest expansion, Altar of Malice, Tranquil Sea and Phantom Sea are huge. They are enormous, and they
you can go almost, you know, go almost forever without ever hitting a zone there, or do you not hit any zones in those?
If you did the entire quest line, which is like I believe 70 quests, and it takes a while too, from the beginning of Tranquil Sea to the end of Phantom Sea, I think you zone a total of 15 times, maybe. And that's because you zone in and out of a few small instances where they tell you, like, you run it and it does a little story for you, and that kind of thing. But but generally, you don't meet those points until you've done quite a bit of content. And they're huge. I mean, honestly, you guys have the latest expansion for EQ2? I could call you.
No, we don't. I don't anyway. I don't think.
I don't have it either yet. So,
I don't have a tune near that level yet. I'll certainly get it. How long has it been out?
November last year.
November last year. So fairly recent. Did you enjoy it, or have you played through that content?
I've played through probably a good 75% of it, and then IRL took over.
IRL is the hardest boss of all.
Yes, it is.
Well, that's a great segue to what do you normally do in game? Like, do you have a preferred like race class combo, or are you a raider or an altaholic? What's your jam in EQ2?
I definitely have a lot of alts, but it's mostly for variety's sake and for downtime. Like, once the expansion gets stale, it eventually happens. Not because the content isn't good, but you've just done the content quite a bit to get everything you need. Then I'll play it on a different tune, and it'll feel much different. A great thing about it is there's a lot of replayability to do the same content with a different class because it feels so different. Doing one zone as a tank could be simple. It could be easy breezy. You felt like you never lost aggro and you did great damage, but you go and run it as a healer and it's tough because it's a different kind of gameplay. Definitely healing is probably the most different from every other class.
Aileron is a very, very pro healer. He likes playing the cleric. He loves going into instances and raids with a larger group. And he gets a lot of pleasure from just sitting back and making sure no one dies.
You know, I do enjoy it. Well, especially, I will say, like, if it's a group I'm familiar with, like, if I know the people in the group, I really like healing. There's something about that. It's so reactive and, reflexive, and it's constant pressure as a healer. I feel like, everybody kind of depends on you. But if it's a group I don't know, like if I'm pugging, I tend to go more DPS-ish just because, I don't like to be trolled. Like, if something bad happens, the tank or the healer's getting blamed. I'd rather just be DPS.
Where Leagan, on the other hand, I like doing damage. Yeah. That's my thing. I love to see people bleed.
Yes. Leagan's got issues, as you can tell. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't deny it.
Do you have a favorite class in EQ2?
Can I pick three?
Yes, you absolutely. Bet.
I love Paladin. It's a lot of fun to tank, and they feel like they're so invincible because there's so many different ways that you can just cheat the mob out of killing you.
Nice.
You've got a self-res, you've got your own heals, you've got your own wards. It's so easy to keep aggro because, they give you the tools to do it. You can reflect damage. You can completely prevent damage. I just enjoy the heck out of that class.
Well, I know what my next alt is.
I absolutely love Inquisitor. It is one of the best healers to play. And then on par with that is Warden. That's my second favorite healing class to play.
Warden.
So Warden is a healing class. Define for me the difference between Inquisitor and Warden.
An Inquisitor, there's so many tiny differences. But the biggest one I'd have to say is an Inquisitor is considered a cleric subclass. Mm. Maybe I'm using the wrong exact terminology.
But I know. Get your...
Yeah. And so they use reactive heals. So you place you cast a reactive on somebody, and when they immediately when they get hit, the reactive takes a trigger and heals them up for however much the trigger would heal them for. Mm-hmm. And so if you got 10 triggers of 1,800 heal, then for the next 10 hits that they take, if it's not more than 1,800, you barely even got a heal.
Which is awesome.
That is pretty cool.
So
you don't
play much DPS. You said a tank and two healers. So.
Oh, and I mean, I guess I got to go with a fourth. I love Conjurer.
Conjurer.
Yeah, that's a great DPS class. It's a lot of fun. It's very versatile. You can solo a lot of things, and I mean, not that any other class can't solo just as well as the other ones, but I feel like you have a lot more tricks up your sleeve as a conj.
Okay, is there any race that you play? You find yourself playing a lot, or you just kind of mix it up?
I love Erikans. They're the new race. They're just so cool. They have such an interesting lore. You guys want to hear it?
Yes, absolutely.
You bet.
Okay, so Erikans didn't show up until the Tears of Vishan expansion. Mm-hmm. They weren't known as a race to anybody, and they were the shock troops of the Dragon Lord Carafrim, and nobody knew where they came from except for Carafrim. So Carafrim traveled to a parallel universe, just like EverQuest Next, EverQuest 1, and EverQuest 2 are all parallels of the same universe.
Right.
He traveled to a different parallel. He enslaved the Erikans, and now they're enslaved and trapped in our universe, in EQ2.
That's pretty cool lore. That's pretty cool. You got to get to the
EQ
people.
They did some work
people.
On that one.
Yeah. You get to the EQ people. There's some really unique and great lore in the various EQ game. So we do a lore section every week, and Leagan does the research for those, and I'm always just super interested to hear what the lore piece is for that week, because the EQ really knocks it out of the park lore-wise.
Yeah, one of the reasons that we have stayed EQ fans for years and years is because of their lore. They do a great job of telling the story.
Absolutely do. So we're getting kind of to our time limit, so, but before we go, I want to ask you, I'm going to assume, like all EQ franchise fanatics, that you are waiting with bated breath for EverQuest next. Or is there, do you have any thoughts on next, or like what you want to see out of it, or what you hope it's going to be?
I'm really hoping that they don't make travel. I want it to be an in-between of what EQ1 was in the beginning and what EQ2 is now. I feel like druids should be able to cast portals to druid rings that are in remote locations, that it makes it much easier to have a druid to get there because that ring is there and there's no other travel near it. And a wizard spire is in a remote location and there's no docks near it and there's no other druid rings near it, and that's why you asked a wizard to make a portal to it.
Right. Well, your classes really matter. Your exactly. Class choices matter.
Yes.
That's one of the things when we played EQ the first time, Aelorin played a necromancer and I played a wizard, and we both had our things that we could do with that class. Aelorin could find corpses for people, and he made money, and that made that character important, more so over the just questing and dungeon grinds and stuff like that. You actually had something else you could do that could help people, and you could make your character could make a living at it. The wizards provided portals, and we always loved that mechanic. And I agree with you. I think that's something that should be put into next. I would like to see that type of thing come back because it makes it feel more like a community, a real community.
Well, it does, because you need people and you're in the chat like, hey, is there a druid out there that can get me here? Is there a horse? And next, when they say you can, you know, one character can have all 40-something classes, the odds are if they give an ability like that where druids have access to these things easier, that everybody will do the druid quest to pick up the druid abilities, you know. But we don't know yet because we don't know enough about it to really judge. And travel is a good point. Travel is often overlooked as such an important feature of an MMO because you're traveling huge worlds. Next seems like it's going to be possibly the biggest MMO space we've ever seen, maybe outside of Elite Dangerous. It seems like a pretty big space. But travel is going to be super important. You don't want it to be too easy, because that kind of ruins content, which is kind of an issue people are having, the developers at like Blizzard and things are having. But you don't want it to be too hard, and people don't want to go through the real life effort of getting from point A to point B. So that's a really tough,
like, you have to strike a balance with that.
Yeah, it's the hardest spot to think pinpoint. Anything else you're looking for next, or landmark? If you're a landmark, you've mentioned it a few times. Are you into landmark?
I'm into hearing about landmark, but when it comes to, I don't know how it is now. I've been told that they made it less grindy, but I just felt like, you know, gathering the tools and the things that I needed was just so grindy. And also, I seem to be able to run EQ2 flawlessly, mm-hmm. but when it comes to landmark, it's just
it's not optimized at all.
Aelorin and I were both in beta for landmark.
Yeah,
and
still in beta.
We are. It's open beta now. We were in closed beta.
It's still closed.
Yeah, it's still closed.
I thought they opened it.
Nope, they pushed it back.
they frustrate me.
Yeah, anyway. If you would listen to, there's this podcast called Norath News Network. If you listen to that, they covered it on a previous episode.
I'm not listening to those guys. They don't know what they're talking about.
Well, that's true. That is true. That's a good point.
Anyway, back to my original point, which I forgot what was now. It was grindy. And I agree with you. It was so grindy. They have improved it some, but it's still pretty grindy for my taste. And Aileron and I got a little tired of it because, well, first of all, neither one of us is very good at building things. I'm a little better than Aileron is, but he, absolutely, you know, that's because I think I played a little bit more than he did. But going at, when you got in there and first started, it was a pain to go find everything you needed just to be able to build a log cabin. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. I see your point on the it being grindy. And I have one other question. This is not about Landmark, but I have one other question about EQ2. And this is a loaded question. I'm going to forewarn you. So if you don't want to answer this, you don't have to. Just say, I refuse to answer that because you're setting me up, and I don't appreciate it. But in EQ2, do you, in your opinion, have a class that you think is OP?
Not really. I feel like everybody has their strengths and weaknesses. I really and truly believe that. I'd have to say there are definitely ones that do have some slight advantages, like a 10 or 15% higher DPS ratio than other classes.
And for example, what classes would these be?
Like assassins, they definitely, and wizards definitely have an edge. And wizards, assassins, warlocks, and
10% is reasonable, though.
Yeah, it is, and it really fluctuates depending on the expansion and how they've tweaked things. I've heard a lot of scout complaints, so maybe rangers and assassins aren't quite as further in the edge of the DPS chain as they used to be. But then I still see numbers posted on some random forums that I see them doing still quite high numbers.
Well, you know, a lot of it, that stuff comes down to the players.
Oh, yeah.
So we kind of jumped the Landmark doing about the EQ2. I do want to get one more EQ2 question before we close this out. And that is, you know, the EQ has progression servers. I believe I read that EQ2 is launching a progression server. Is that something you're interested in?
Yeah, hold on. My fanboy is going to kick in and my voice is going to get really squeaky. Oh my God, I'm so excited about it. Oh my God. Like, I'm just.
That's
thrilled.
Okay. We encourage the squeaky voice on this program.
So you are excited for the progression server. Would you recommend, you know, for noobs like us, that's what we should do? Should we get on the progression server?
Noobs, vets, people who want to meet up with friends, you know. I don't know if they'll ever open it up to be able to transfer from that server to another. I assume that eventually they will, or they'll merge it with a low pop server after like 2 years of it going through the time lock phases. But it's not going to be a true progression server like EQ1 has, because they didn't keep the code the same way. It wasn't written the same way, I assume.
Right.
Code in EQ2 seems to be rewritten instead of written on top of the old stuff. That's how I understand it. Because they can't go back and exactly have it everything the way it was day one for EQ1. I mean, for EQ2. You can't go back to that. You know, when they added in, I assume that they can do things like turn off all dormants, turn off tinkering, all those little extra nuances and things that they added over the years, and take off features. And then when the expansion, when like say they put it at every 3 months an expansion opens up, which I think would be cool. Every 3 or 4 months an expansion opens up would be great. Then they unlock the features that came with that expansion.
Well, you know, that's how Ragefire and Lockjaw are right now at EQ. They're not exactly like it was in 1999, because there's some features that they can't reset. Like some of the cities have been rebuilt and they can't put it back the way it was and things like that. But it's as close as you can get without playing one of the emulators, like Project 1999. And they're unlocking expansions every 6 months or so. And I think it's a good system. And, it, you know, it's clearly worked. Ragefire is the most popular server EverQuest has, and Lockjaw is a close second. So it makes complete sense that they're going to bring that successful template over to EQ2. And I hope it's just as successful there.
Oh, me too. Because I think not only does it give an opportunity for the company to bring back people in for nostalgia reasons, but it also gives them a way to bring in new people. Like, hey, we're starting the game fresh from how it was 10 years ago. So why don't you come in and try it out and learn how each of these new areas works, you know, and all these new features as it, you know, only twice the speed, because it was like an expansion a year, you know. So if they do it every 6 months, then at twice the speed, you know, you're still learning pretty quick.
Well, I'm pretty excited about that. I'm going to give that a try. I'm actually really excited just to play EQ2 in general. Since the progression servers aren't up yet, where, if players wanted to play with you, and you don't have to give this information out if you want, I can cut this part. But do you want to give us your server name so people can find you out there if the people want to play with the Nerathian Chronicles?
Butcher Block.
Butcher Block. All right. So you hear that, Questers? If you want to play with Oak Miser, you can get that on Butcher Block. Maybe you'll find your way into a YouTube video as he's going around teaching us noobs how to do things. Well, guys, we're running pretty long, as we expect from our interviews. Oak Miser, I really want to thank you for coming on.
You were great, man. Thank you so much.
No problem.
So let's get where people can find you. So pimp your stuff out, your YouTube channel, your Twitter, Facebook, wherever you're at. Tell the people where they can find you at.
All right. My Twitter handle is NerathianChron, CHRON. My YouTube channel is some gibberish, but there's a link on my Twitter to it. So as soon as I hit 500 subscribers, they'll let me have a real URL. Apparently they changed that a while ago. If you search Nerathian Chronicles on Facebook, I do that, and sometimes I share some medieval or fantasy-based memes on there to give some people some laughs. And that's about it.
All right. Now, we always joke about having 12 listeners, but in fact we have somewhere at a few hundred. So, questions out there, do Nerathian Chronicles a favor and go subscribe out there and get him bumped up so he can get a real YouTube address.
That's right. And we have always found that the Nerathian community is a tight-knit community. So go support him.
Go support him. Absolutely. Legan, you want to – you see how good he did about telling people where to find him, how he didn't
– I can never hope to match that, no. As a matter of fact, I refuse to do it now. He did such a good job.
You've got to do it tradition. Try to tell the people where they can find us.
You've got me so flustered now. Okay, where's the first spot?
Oh, my goodness.
You can find us on Twitter at NorathNewsNet. You can find us on Facebook at Norath News Network. And you can find us at our website at NorathNewsNetwork.com. You can also find us on Google+. And you can listen to our podcast on Podomatic, iTunes, and is there something? There's one other, isn't there?
And Stitcher. Oh, man, you were so close. You were at the 99% mark.
Oh,
you almost got them all.
Oak Miser, I'm so sorry, man. I'm sorry you had to witness that.
By the time we get to episode 20, you're going to get them all, I'm convinced.
Oh, man. So close.
All right, Questers, thank you so much. Special thanks to Oak Miser.
All right, Questers, that's about all the time we have. We want to thank you for listening. And stay tuned next week for more EQ goodness.
Yep, that's going to do us. So may your journeys on Earth be safe and your adventures in Norath be epic. Until next time.
Bye.